Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Just between us.
Hey!
Just between us.
Hey!
Yeah!
Hello! I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, director, and obsessive hand washer.
And I'm Gabby Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, wink, and new graphic novelist.
Ooh,
wink,
tell
wink.
Me more.
I had a graphic novel come out from Boom Studios called Bury the Lead. Please go get it.
What is it about?
It's a crime thriller. It's like Killing Eve meets lesbian Hannibal. There's a butch lesbian character in it, and my dad read the whole thing and then didn't realize that the character was a woman till the sex scene. Thank you so much. What the fuck?
Hey, a lot of dads wouldn't even read it.
That's true. Let's give him credit for that. Anyway, do our new thing.
Oh, yes. This is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice, ridiculous games, and brutal honesty.
How do you guys feel? We're testing out a new line.
We are rebranding.
I think it works. I think it describes the show a little bit better than what we had before.
Yeah. We have an incredible episode for you this week. We're going to be talking all about divorce with Adrian Earhart.
Ugh. My mom's favorite topic. We're really hitting all my parents' things that they love in this episode.
Is your dad's favorite thing murder? Because that's going to be our topic later.
The one crime he hasn't committed.
Oh, my God. But first, hit it. International question! International question! International question! Adam, Atlanta. Adam wants us to know he was born in Canada, so it's technically an international question.
I love that for you, Adam.
And we appreciate it. Adam says, I hung up a pride flag in a common room of my apartment, and my roommate, who was randomly assigned to Adam,
okay,
wrote me a nicely worded letter telling me to take it down because he didn't like it. Should I take it down? Should I leave it up? Do I add more flags? Maybe a picture of a penis? How do I handle microaggressions like this from well-meaning people? Basically, he says, you know, how should I handle this? And more broadly, how to handle small microaggressions, especially with people you see a lot.
He says he doesn't want to immediately assume the guy is a homophobe and an asshole. And also the guy's reasoning. So here's the full text of the note, which starts, to whom it may concern.
I noticed that you hung a flag in the living room. Although I am sensitive to the views of the LGBTQ community, I would like to ask you to please hang it in your own personal space. The living room slash common area of the household is supposed to be just that, common. It should be free of personal items, especially items that reflect beliefs and lifestyle choices. By hanging a flag in the living room, it makes a statement that all occupants of the apartment are part of the LGBTQ community, and I personally am not. If you could please remove the flag, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you in advance for your consideration of my request.
This is the longest no homo of all time.
I can't believe how afraid this man is to seem queer in any way.
I literally, he should have just been like, to whom it may concern, no homo, love your roommate.
Yeah, just like, to whom it may concern, it was just that one time I sucked a penis.
Like, what are you fucking talking about, dude?
I don't know, but it sucks because it's, you know, one of the things that's really tough about having roommates is, like, it's your own space, but not really, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't even feel, like, I would imagine this would make Adam feel, like, not accepted in his own home, which sucks.
Yeah, and, like, scared to have to hide parts of himself. Like, I assume this kid would not have a problem if someone was, like, from Venezuela and, like, hung up the Venezuelan flag.
No, Gabby, I mean, I'm pretty sure he'd be like, I'm not Venezuelan. This does not reflect me.
I think it's going to make people think that everyone in this apartment is from Venezuela. Fuck you, dude. Like, it seems like this guy's main problem is that he doesn't want to be seen as gay.
Right.
Rather than that he, like, disagrees with gayness on, like, some sort of fundamental level.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, I think you have to be pretty homophobic to think
To be so scared.
Yeah, to be that afraid. Do you know what I mean?
That's actually the definition of homophobic. He's scared of the pride flag.
I don't know what Adam should do. I mean, I think that...
Hang 12 more pride flags.
I think that he needs to have a discussion maybe with all of the roommates. Because from the letter he said that... The handwritten letter from his email. He said that he's like friends with the other two roommates. And this guy was randomly assigned. So maybe there's like a sit-down meeting where it's like, hey, look, like, I know this was not your intention, but this note comes off to me as homophobic.
Yeah.
And like you being so terrified of being associated at all with the LGBTQ community by simply having a pride flag in your home, like that's hurtful to me and it makes me worry about us living together.
Yeah, like it makes me feel like you don't respect me and you don't want me to be able to express myself, like a core part of myself in the apartment.
Yeah. And then also, like, just because someone has like a Yankee flag doesn't mean they play for the Yankees.
Like tell him he can hang up, like, if he's a fan of, like, I don't know, like the Packers or whatever, like he can hang up a Packers sign.
And I think also, like, where does this deep fear come from? You know, like if he like sort of is like, no, I'm not homophobic, whatever. It's like, okay, so let's go worst case scenario in your mind. Someone you don't know, maybe one of my friends, comes into this apartment and thinks, oh, everyone that lives here is queer. Why is that terrible? Maybe
like,
force him to look at his own issues.
Yeah.
Because I think that this guy probably does think that he's an ally, but he's clearly not.
Also, goddamn fucking roommate letters. I had a roommate who would leave post-its everywhere that with like smiley faces telling me like what to do.
That's horrible.
I it was like, why couldn't you just have the discussion with me? So you're right. Have a sit down face-to-face discussion.
Because he might not understand how his message is coming off. Like
to him,
he might be like, it would be the same as being like, please put your dishes in the sink.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think this is someone who is like not at all familiar with the plight of the queer community,
right,
or the history or like what this implies. I think it's worth sitting down and having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I think that then that's how you get to know his true colors, is how he responds to that.
Yeah.
If it's either like, oh, my God, I didn't realize you're right. Or if it's like, I hear you, but I don't want people thinking I'm queer.
Oh my God. Then just be like, then we'll make a little arrow that says this does not apply to Chad.
Or, you know, he might reveal that, like, I get that, but, like, my mom's coming over and my mom is super conservative. Or, like, you know, like, there might be some
deeper whatever
some
reason.
Other issues, like family issues, like causing this. I think that our advice is twofold. One, have a conversation where you explain what's going on.
Yeah.
See what his reaction is. And then two, keep the flag up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think you should have to take this flag down. And I think instead you say, hey, I think we can all put up things that we want in the common room.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless it's like the Confederate flag, then we have some problems.
Oh, yes.
You can hang stuff that isn't actively hateful to other people. How about that?
Right. That should be the rule. Oh, man. I feel bad for Adam and his roommate. And you know what? Maybe this isn't the best fit. Maybe this guy should move out. Or, honestly, maybe he'll learn a lot from you. And he'll walk away a better, more understanding person.
That's true. And he'll become a person who doesn't start letters with "to whom it may concern."
If you have a roommate letter that you want us to attack on air or any other sort of problem, please submit your international question to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. That's justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. Stick around after the break. We're going to be talking all about divorce with comedian Adrian Earhart.
No homo.
It's very juicy. Just between us.
Hey. Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something, and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions.
And this week, I truly believe you.
I know. I'm delighted. Okay, so I'm going to give a little backstory before we introduce our guest. I was in the stand-up scene a few years ago before I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it takes the heart of a champion.
And while I was on the stand-up scene, I met a wonderful comedian named Adrienne Earhart, who you'll get to know in a second. And she has a great online presence too. She's a big tweeter, and I follow her Twitter rather religiously. And one day I saw a tweet that was like something about dating. And I was like, but she's married. Over the course of a few days, the tweets became less vague.
Okay.
And suddenly I realized, oh no, this is divorce. So can you take us on a timeline and also just your thought process? Because I could see you slowly revealing more and more online.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough because he's an influencer. And I'm not a huge person by any means, but like public enough that mm-hmm. there were so many questions.
Yeah.
And
did the questions start?
I mean, anytime I went anywhere without him, it was,
yeah.
How are you guys? So because of that level of, I mean, it's a very small level of publicity, but we're public enough that I felt like I had to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so angry that I couldn't keep it in. And
yeah.
Like, part of me was like, don't air your dirty laundry. And the other part of me was like, how many sad love songs have you listened to that got you through some shit? And that was people pouring their freaking souls out.
Mm-hmm.
And stand-up and writing is my art.
Right.
This is how I'm expressing myself.
Tell us from beginning to end.
So we've been together 8 years.
Okay.
In July, it was 8 years. Got married 2 Aprils ago. So married two, together 8. He insisted that there would be no children, and I agreed. Okay, no kids, but we have a dope, elevated lifestyle.
Okay.
Where we keep moving up. We keep living somewhere doper. We get a dog. We have a washer and dryer in our apartment.
Like,
just like, level up, like
yeah.
Sierra said. So, that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And from the minute we got married on, that was my goal, was like, well, if I'm not going to have kids, I'm going to throw myself into making this happen. And it wasn't happening. He was plateaued and younger. He's 5 years younger than me. So mm-hmm. he'll be 31 soon. I'm 35. And it just started to like reveal itself more and more. And I started to pull away and be less interested in him and what he was doing. I quit stand-up. I really hadn't done stand-up for like almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or any exercise. I was horribly, horribly depressed. This is a really vulnerable moment, but he broke up with me and told me that he wasn't attracted to me anymore, and that I was fat, I let myself go, and that I had been pushing him away. And it was like right on the heels of I had just had an amazing meeting with a manager who was like wanting to do all these projects with me, and I was on top
yeah.
of the world, and I
yeah.
took him out to dinner, and then we tried to like repair this distance that had been forming between us, and it had been forming because he was having an affair. So for 2 weeks he let me think that I was fat and disgusting and mean and cold, and that I had done this.
So what were you?
What was your reaction in that moment when he said that to you?
I shut down. I just was staring at the wall, like completely out of body. Just half of me so relieved.
Really?
And half of me so confused about like what my life. I think my first thought was something like, well, I guess I have to cancel your flight for our trip in October.
Yeah.
It's always
like minutia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very logical. And then the other half of me was just like, where will I live? Where will I go? What will I do?
Mm-hmm.
Who will I be? Who am I? Can
yeah.
I have a family now? Like, it was so much positive and so much negative at once. And like, I literally was just, I mean, I started crying immediately as this happened, because I was like, oh my God, I'm so disgusting. I took a while to tell my family. This happened on a Friday. And then he went out with his girlfriend Saturday. And then...
So you stayed in the same apartment? Like you did?
Yep. Went out with his girlfriend Saturday. I found this out later. And then Sunday, called his parents and told them we were getting divorced. And they were both like, what? And then it was Tuesday when I finally told my mother, brother, and sister. And my mother and I hadn't been speaking for a while this is just what we do, you know,
mm-hmm.
mothers and daughters. And she actually reached out and was like, come stay with me for a little while. So at this point, I'm like, he's disgusted with me. I've pushed him away. I let my body go. I let my ambition go. He doesn't want me anymore. No one's going to want me anymore. So my mom's trying to like pick up the pieces of this broken daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2 weeks go by and I catch him on the phone with her, and I found out that there was a, I mean, I always suspected, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, but just
how did
you
catch him on the phone? Were you still in the same, you were still in the same space as him?
I was spending 2 weeks begging him to work on us because I had put 8 years in this and I was like, let's go to couples therapy. Let's, you know, try to get to at least a happy, harmonious level before, you know, we disengage like this. Because it felt like I was still in love with him and he wasn't in love with me. And and that was so confusing for me because I was like, I know that that's not the case. So we had agreed like a week and a half later. He was like, okay, we'll call this a trial separation and we'll meet weekly and we'll, you know, talk things out and work on us. And I was like, okay. And they said, I'm just going to call my dad. And I was like, okay. And then he walked into our studio and closed the door and called his fucking girlfriend.
You could hear him?
I turned off all the fans next door and all the white noise, and I listened outside. And I really don't think he was telling his dad that he was the hottest person at a party. I really don't think that he was talking to his father. So I busted in the door, and I was like, is that your dad? Put him on speakerphone. And then something snapped in me. He hung up the phone immediately, and I just let him have it and asked him a bunch of questions, and stuff started to come out. At that point, he was telling me that they were just, like, kissing and talking on Instagram and all this bullshit. So I used the timestamp of that and looked at our phone records and traced back 3 months of phone calls.
So did you, once you realized that, that was what was going on, did you feel like, oh, okay, so the stuff about me being unattractive, like, wasn't real? Like, was that a relief?
She's 11 years younger.
Sure.
So, no. And I do believe that he'll have success as an influencer despite this. This is not going to affect him at all. He's a white male.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, how many people have, I think, like, about all the ex-wives who have come out and talked about, like, men who are actors, and everyone just is like, whatever.
It's a thing that they do. I should have seen it coming. That's the thing. I feel so stupid for not seeing it coming. And I've been doing really well since then. Like, as soon as I found out about her, and the phone records and everything, I kicked him out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're done. Get out. Literally threw his shit in suitcases and had a
cinematic
screaming fit. Yeah, it was very incredible, like a movie scene.
And he was still trying to lie and minimize. Like, he never fully fessed up to you, or did he ever?
Until the phone records, until I saw them. And I was, and I'm not a yeller. I'm not a very, I had a very violent childhood. So I am not a violent person by nature. And I was screaming so loud that I lost my voice. And yeah, I've never been so angry in my entire life.
Well, yeah. Well, it's one thing what he did, and then it's another thing to say what he said and to lie about, you know, and to mislead you.
Put it on
me. Think that's the cruelest part of this story.
Is to make it Adrian think that it's her
fault. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
For getting fat.
Which, like, okay.
I was like 20 pounds heavier than I am now.
But even so, I mean, whatever. Even so, that's like so not so clearly wasn't what
also
was going on.
A clear indicator that he's not someone ready for marriage,
right?
Or capable of being married.
So, like, when did you start feeling like, okay, I'm gonna get back into stand up. I'm gonna get back into, like, doing the stuff that benefits you, because that's, like, probably the best side effect of all of this shittiness.
It was a week after I found out about the girlfriend. I went through it for a few days. And, like, just tried to keep my social calendar packed full, which was helpful. I've had a lot of people reach out that I had cut off over the years just from my depression and, you know, from being wrapped up in my marriage and trying so hard to put it first. It was, like, a week after that. And then I just got on stage. Like, a buddy had been asking me to come do his show for a while. And I'd been saying, I'm on hiatus or I've quit or whatever for months. And then finally he was like, just come watch the show. And I said, actually, can I do a hot five? And I did 5 minutes of this material. And it was well received. And I didn't, like, cry. I was a little shaky because it had been many months since I'd been on stage.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like, a bunch of people came up and they were like, we just unfollowed him.
I mean, not even that, but, like, I think probably have women been reaching out being like, oh, my God, I had the same thing or whatever.
People.
Really?
And they just feel alone, probably.
Yep. Yep.
And that's why it's so powerful that you are posting about it.
If you watch my Instagram stories, you'll see, like, me venting about the things that he took from the house when he left. And, like, I don't have any tools to take things off the wall. So a buddy had to come and, like, take all my things off the wall for me. I don't have any knives. So I bought watermelons and I came home and just threw them. Because
but, like,
I didn't
that's
have
been,
any...
like, a recurring bit, right? That you don't have any knives.
I don't have any
and
knives.
You just, like, keep tweeting about what you how you're going to do stuff without any knives.
I turned it into one of my better jokes and it's doing really well. So I do it on stage. I'm happy about it.
Has he responded to you being public with it?
Nope.
He hasn't said anything?
No contact.
Why did you guys get married?
Because we're best friends. And we had dope times and we hardly ever fought. And he was there for me during a really dark time when we first met. I was going through my first divorce when we met. And I think I felt like because my marriage had failed, that this next one had to work.
Yeah, that happens to so many people.
And it was easy because, you know, he was handsome and fun and he showed me stand-up. And like now that I look back, I'm not sure if I fell in love with him or with stand-up.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Because they're so intertwined. Yeah. And like to spend time with him, I had to go to Mike's. Mm-hmm. And then his friends were like, you're funny, get up. Mm-hmm. And I grew up without stand-up comedy. I didn't have television growing up, so I didn't know what it was. And it just clicked. Something just clicked in there. And it was like I was supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then love happened, as mm-hmm. it does when, you know, there's... when someone needs you. I guess I needed him at the time. I was so lost and so fucked up.
Which is never the healthiest way to,
definitely
to start
not.
Something.
Definitely not. And I think I was good to him. I mean, I tried to mature him and make him, you know, grow up a little bit and guide him and teach him how to say no to things. He's too nice. And I think I strengthened him a little bit. And mm-hmm. he's definitely softened me. Mm-hmm. I definitely had... prickly wall, which has since come right back up.
But it's been such little time. Like a lot of people would still be in their crying in bed phase. And that's totally fine and valid. But you like, I mean, to say a week later, you were like rediscovering yourself mm-hmm. is incredible.
It was like sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to that dark place again. And I'm staying busy and I'm writing jokes and I'm going out and I'm hanging with friends and I'm going to birthday parties and I'm dating and mm-hmm. I'm having sex with other people to try to like feel again. And it's working.
Yeah, to be yourself.
It's all working.
Did you debate whether or not about the dating and when to start that
back up? Yeah, I think 2 weeks I like danced around it and like obviously there was always options because I'm a comic. I'm a female comic. And you know,
yeah.
So it was nice to like tap into a couple of those and be like, hey, it's been 5 years of wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder no more, you know?
Yeah.
But like nothing's really, you know, stuck. And then if there is someone that I'm super liking, it's probably not a good time for me.
Right. That's what I think. Yeah. I think it's like, because I did that. Like I had a breakup and then I just was like every person who had ever flirted with me. I was like, hello.
Yeah.
And like took care of that in like mm-hmm. a week. And then way too soon, like 3 weeks later, like was dating someone new. And I was like, I should not have done that. Like
yeah.
that was way too soon.
I think of it like I've had a lot of friends who've been divorced reach out. And one of them said he was like, women mourn the loss of their relationship while they're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they, you know, gather up the chutzpah to actually break it off. Whereas the men mourn it after they're out of it and in a new one.
Thank God you guys never had kids.
Yeah.
That's the huge thing.
That's, yeah. My best friend who's Christian said that God interfered to make sure that I didn't have kids with him or the first one so that I wouldn't be tied to them. And I was like, well, you could say it's God or it's cysts on my ovaries, but either way.
Oh, wow.
I did it. I just said that. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I totally understand the thing about you feeling like you were rising and he wasn't and needing to make him. Like, I think women are so afraid of, like, the man feeling inferior.
And he was.
And then, like, going out of the way to, like, mm-hmm. make sure that they don't. But when are men ever worried that women feel inferior?
Yeah.
That's such an interesting dynamic.
You don't hear it that often. You don't hear that, like, they're like, oh, I have to help her career. I never hear that, really.
When we broke up, he was like, now you can live your own life and not live my life. And like we had several serious conversations before this where I had ended up saying something like, I don't have the strength to leave you.
Oh.
And he had said things like, if I'm holding you back, you can go.
This was before you found?
Yeah.
Before that April 9th?
Before the actual breakup. But I'm fucking back to me. And like it feels amazing. It really does. I feel liberated. Most of the time I feel really happy. I have moments of like something catches in my throat and I have a moment, but they're fewer and farther between. And, you know, it feels really good.
Yeah.
I have a weirdness when someone messages me or someone asks me out in person. And my first instinct is to show my ring and I don't have a ring anymore.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to do with my wedding dress and my veil and all this bullshit. And I was stressing out about it. And I just tweeted, does anyone want a free wedding dress? And this actress, who she's a deaf actress, she tweeted, she was like, what size? What's it look like? So I DM'd her a picture and told her the size. And she was like, I'd love to have that. So I shipped my wedding dress for free to this stranger from Twitter. Hopefully she can get some happiness from it. Wow. I didn't want to deal with like listing it and like just touching it was like, and I took it to the dry cleaners because I was like, how much is this going to be the dry clean? And they were like $300. And I like burst into tears.
Yeah,
and
course.
I was like, he cheats and I have to pay money for this. No. And I just gathered it up and just threw it in a box and shipped it to this girl. So I was like, can you just pay for shipping? And she was like, no problem. So I sent her the receipt and she Venmo'd me.
Oh, there you go.
So I got rid of that bullshit. And then like pictures of us that were like hanging on the walls, I literally just threw them in the garbage, mm-hmm. in the dumpster.
As you should. Mm-hmm.
And it felt really like liberating. And mm-hmm. yeah, he left me with so much work that I just like walk around venting like in my apartment, like all these fucking linens and all this goddamn. He just yeah. took, cherry picked what he wanted and dipped out. Fucking asshole.
Before we move on to the next part of this podcast, do you have just one piece of advice for someone who's maybe going on a journey like this?
Don't marry someone who doesn't communicate. Mm. This is like if he'd been able to talk to me from the get-go,
right.
This could have been avoided by either us not being together or by working through these issues. Mm-hmm. And don't compromise yourself. I just poured myself into him because I was like, yeah, I don't want kids. I'll live this life. I'll do this life. Don't fucking do that. There's always going to be someone who's going to want to align themselves with your goals. Don't compromise yourself.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and for being so vulnerable. Would you like to play a game show?
For sure.
Okay, woo! Fantastic. This game is called Hypotheticals. You and Gabby will be the contestants. I will be providing you with hypothetical situations, mm-hmm. and you'll tell me what you would do.
Okay.
Allison, are we starting with America's
yeah,
Favorite
so
Game
our,
Show?
Our Holy America's shit. Favorite Game Show is, would you stay with this cheater? And we can all agree the answer is no.
Yeah, is that it? We've already played it?
I literally just wrote, would you stay with this cheater? And then underneath, no, exclamation mark.
The end. Wow, that's the first time that game has played itself.
I can't believe it.
Just like my ex-husband.
Played yourself.
Yes. Okay, our next favorite game show is this person an alien or just rude?
Okay.
While at the hair salon, you ask your stylist for a simple trim. Instead, they cut off all your hair and say you need to grow some character. You've been relying on your looks for too long. Now you are completely bald and angry. Is this person an alien or just rude?
I think just rude.
You think just rude? How
but
come?
Also, some people can rock a bald head.
Oh, absolutely.
But it should
it's
be your choice.
What, yeah, it's not what you asked
yeah.
for.
Yeah. I think they're just rude.
What do you think?
I think that's a suable offense. I will sue that person.
You kind of can, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
If that's part of my brand?
Yeah, you could 100%. Sue them. But for damaging your wages.
Yeah.
But maybe they're just trying to ignite something in you.
You don't get to make that decision.
Not without my consent.
You rudo.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if it's to ignite something into you to then have you become part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Why?
Because you're a superhero.
Wait, what?
You have to be bald to get your powers, and the hairstylist knew.
Allison!
Oh,
what?
That's an alien.
And the hairstylist is Nick Fury?
Yes.
Okay, Allison.
Okay, our next game. Somewhat fitting. Are you a terrible parent? Your child is afraid of water and will only take a shower if you go in there with them. So every day you take a shower together. They are 15. Are you a terrible parent?
Allison!
What?
Get the hose.
That's a great answer. They stand outside, you hose them down. You're fully clothed. God. I think you might be a terrible parent. And I like Adrian's idea to just get them with a hose.
Put the goggles on. They can't, go outside.
They have to be naked with someone else or they feel too vulnerable. So we think terrible parent because we didn't address these issues way earlier.
And also, yeah, you should absolutely have gone to therapy because something bad happened to that kid.
Right?
Okay, fine. But to be fair, it's a rain shower, so it was nice.
What?
They had a fancy rain shower. Okay, our last game is a brand new game that I've created.
Okay.
It's called Would You Lie or Tell the Truth?
Wow, okay.
Here we go. This is the scenario. While visiting your significant other's parents' house for the first time, you clog the toilet with the smelliest poopies you have ever pooped.
Oh, no.
Do you tell them or do you quickly leave the bathroom and pretend to be enraged later when your significant other's dad assumes his asshole neighbor broke into their house again to take a shit? I'm sorry. Again?
Yeah, they've been, luckily for you, they've been having this issue.
Where the neighbor breaks into the house to shit?
Yeah, and so they think, oh, it's just Joey again, but it was you.
But Joey has done this in the past.
Yes, it's Joey then.
Yeah.
So you lie?
Absolutely lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, it turns out later when the mom goes in to fix it, she realizes it smells different. And she's on to you.
I was going to ask about the scent because everyone has their own scent.
Yeah, so the jig is up, everybody.
No, we gave Joey some treats yesterday.
And it changed his poop smell.
I gave him some edibles.
So you just go deeper with the lie.
Yep.
Okay.
Go all the way in.
I think if Joey's already done the thing, then we let Joey take the fall again.
All right, but then Joey's in jail and you stink it up again.
Why is he in jail?
Yeah.
Because he's breaking into people's houses to poop.
Adrian, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
Twitter at Craydrian, Instagram Craydrian. Craydrian everywhere. CraydrianNe.
After the break, we'll be talking all about murder.
Oh boy.
I picked it.
We're going to jail.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for topics.
XXXXXXXX!
Baby!
Baby!
So every week we pick a random topic to discuss, and this week I wanted to talk about murder.
Yeah, in my email to you when you suggested this, I said, why are you trying to send us to jail?
You're allowed to talk about murder. You're just not allowed to commit murder. Well, what made me think about this is because I've recently started watching the hit show Dexter.
Yes. Yeah. So you're living in 2007?
Always have been. Always will be.
Okay.
And Dexter, if you haven't seen it, first of all, I recommend it.
Wow.
It's on Netflix. Second of all, basically, so the whole premise is that he is a serial killer, but he only kills bad people.
Yeah.
And so his dad was a cop who taught him this code.
Yeah.
And the code was that to get rid of his urges, he was allowed to murder, but only bad people.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, watching the show, I've been thinking about it. And I was like, okay, so let's pretend that, like, I find out that, like, my partner was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Would I be upset?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I would be.
Well, it kind of comes back to believing in the death penalty.
I don't believe in the death penalty.
No, me neither. But you know why? Because I feel that the justice system is flawed.
I don't trust the justice system.
No, but for some reason, I would trust a vigilante.
Absolutely. No, in the show, a big part of the show is him doing research to prove that these people have killed. And so he only kills other murderers.
Yeah. But you know, that's what the justice system thinks it's doing.
Right, but like, there's
so much entrenched racism and so much entrenched, like, mistakes and flaws, so that there's been too many people executed who, like, were at later found innocent. And
absolutely.
So, like, I'm, like, anti-death penalty.
No, I'm anti-death penalty. I am pro-vigilante murders.
Allison!
happen?
And here's why. Well, a big part of it, honestly, is that I think that, like, the justice system isn't good. There's a lot of people out there that are, like, bad.
On a technicality, they get out.
Yeah, on a technicality, they get out. And, like, I've always been someone where, like, in the movies, if there's, like, a scene where, like, finally the good guy gets the gun.
Yeah.
And they have the chance to shoot the bad guy. And then they hesitate. And then, of course, something happens and they lose control of the gun and, like, movie keeps going. I would be like, shoot him!
Yeah.
Like, I would shoot immediately.
Okay.
Like, there wouldn't be any, my hand shaking. Like, I would just, like, go in and be like, pew, 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 pew.
So here's the problem. Is that,
I just made gun sounds?
You know, it was very realistic.
Thank you.
Is that, like, there, it's easy, I think, to say that you don't, that you don't believe in the death penalty or whatever, when I've never had a family member or friend or something be a victim of, like, be murdered, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, knock on wood. But, like, so, like, I don't know how I would feel if I saw, like, you know, in the courtroom somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how, if that would change my opinion if it was, like, someone who had personally done something to someone I love.
Yeah.
Would I then be like, no, fry them? You know, I don't know. Would I then feel like I want to go to their house and, like, murder them if they got off of the, if they got off, you know?
I don't know. That's the whole thing. It's like, I say that I would immediately shoot, but obviously you don't really know how you're going to act.
You don't know what you would do in the moment. I know, exactly. But I also am like, then it's hard because I think I have a lot of issues with, like, the prison industrial complex. And then I've read a lot of stuff where it's like, well, what about murderers and rapists going free if you, like, get rid of the prison system? But then it's also like, okay, but then there's some people that are so evil. Like, what about, like, Ted Bundy, or what about, like, Richard Ramirez or something? It's just like, what do you do with these people that are so evil? My instinct in the moment thinking about their crimes is, like, to strangle them. You know what I mean?
But again, that's more vigilante than death penalty.
It is. It's vigilante.
Not that I'm promoting that in any way in the real world, but, like, I just have realized about myself that, like, I no longer trust the Justice Department, or, like, I don't see things in black and white in terms of, like, what's legal and illegal based on, like, the laws of America.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more like what's morally right.
It seems like a lot of responsibility to end a life. Like, even if, I mean, I don't know, if someone hurt Cheyenne, I would probably kill them. But, like, I also don't know if in the moment I would be like, I can't, like, take a life out of someone's body. Like, that
well,
seems
I think
crazy.
There's a big difference between, like, predetermined and in the moment.
Oh, crime of passion?
Or not crime of passion, because that implies they don't deserve it. Like, self-defense. Like,
yeah, self-defense.
You know, like, I think I'm a huge proponent of self-defense.
Yes. And, but you
and
also
not to
have
the point
to be
of, like,
sure what's happening. I think people are really quick to, I don't know, feel like, let's get a read on the situation.
I'm not saying, like, these police claiming self-defense.
Right, exactly.
I'm talking about, like, your spouse aggressively attacking you.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you know.
Or, like, someone's assaulting you and you kill them.
Right.
Yeah, I hear that.
Like, I don't think I'd feel bad.
But
like, I'm a big proponent of just, like, assassination of, like, harmful dictators.
Oh, you want to be one of those people that they, like, put kind of like a poison capsule in your hand and then they send you to, like, the country and then you, like, shake. You're like the interview.
Sure.
And then they send you there to, like, do an assassination of, like, a guy who's, like, doing a genocide.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to make sure that, like, there's structure there so it's not just an equally bad guy taking over.
I know. That's the problem.
That's the tough thing. So maybe you have to take out the whole regime. I don't know.
Oh,
you have a lot of work to do.
Oh, my God. So you should really be working for the CIA.
I've been saying that for years.
There's
a part of me that's like, I missed an opportunity here. But that's because I have poor language skills. Like, I can't learn foreign language, and you need that to be in the CIA.
The CIA is also really questionable in terms of the stuff that they pull off and do.
Yeah.
Really, I think what we've learned is you can't trust anyone. And I guess you have to be a vigilante. I don't know. We're not going to solve this.
No, we're not solving it. I'm just saying that I'm realizing that, like, I have like, pretty loose rules. Not rules. No, I have very strict rules.
Yeah.
In when it's okay. But they do not align with legality.
Dude, if one of us is in court, they're going to use this audio.
Yeah, sure.
Like, they're gonna...
And I'll be like, and that person deserved to die.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying strict rules.
Yeah. I mean, I it's so hard because I also, like, think about the people that, you know, their kid has been killed and they do a thing where they, in the court, are like, I forgive you. I don't know. It seems so case by case. Like, it Absolutely. Seems so specific to case by case.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I really applaud, like, families of victims of violent crimes because I don't know how you sit in that courtroom and not, like, fully jump the thing and mm-hmm. strangle.
And imagine when they get let go.
Yeah, how do you not just immediately go to that person's house and kill them? I think it probably happens a lot, actually.
Really?
If my procedurals that I watch are anything to go
we're
by.
Like, we like have no basis in reality. It's all just TV that we watch.
I know. It's all TV and movies. We have no concept. I mean, I think it has happened. I think I remember there were like cases where if the guy got off, they were going to like take a gun and kill them. Which like to me, kind of understandable.
Yeah, I get it. I just like then it's just like, is it worth your life? Like giving up your life to be in prison for that.
True. But then it's like, it's hard because with self-defense, sometimes there's people who will claim self-defense and they're just racist.
Oh, absolutely.
So like, I don't know what the answer is.
There's no answer. I'm also talking hypothetical situations where it truly is self-defense.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not talking about a drunk white woman walking into the wrong apartment and killing somebody.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like, we know for sure it is. Like, I'm talking about that movie Enough. Have you ever seen that? So that movie's fucking awesome because like it's J-Lo being J-Lo and like, but like a timid J-Lo at the beginning, which sure. we all love because then we get to see her flourish.
Yeah.
And she has this, like, terribly abusive either ex-husband or husband who's, like, hunting her down and, like, intention is to kill her. So what
and
she does...
And he's never going
to
stop. He's never going to stop.
He's not going to get caught. And what she does is she, like, bulks up and, like, learns all of this stuff and, like, becomes, like, a martial artist and, like, and like, gets him over to her house and then she kills him. And I love it.
Yeah, I'm very pro killing domestic abusers and rapists.
See? There we go.
I don't want to take a hard stance here, but I think
but like when like in that scenario, I think that like the justice system let her down or like whatever the circumstances were.
Oh, because with stalking and domestic violence and rape, like no way is the justice system going to statistically protect you.
Yeah, and so I think that like what she did was so awesome and empowering. Everyone should go watch the movie Enough.
In anticipation of J-Lo's Oscar for Hustlers.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
This is also a great time to announce we have a brand new producer who's probably wondering what the fuck she got herself into.
I know, exactly. Welcome to Just Between Us, Tamika. Tamika is our new producer. I know it seems like we've gone through a lot of producers and maybe there's something wrong with us.
And I think there
is. And there is. But Tamika is here to stay.
So what did you think of your first one?
I think the strongest part was just... Adrian being very vulnerable mm-hmm. about being broken up with. Because mm-hmm. I feel like those are the moments where you feel the most alone. And so being able to come here and do a podcast, and she'd never met you, Gabby, you know, telling this to a stranger than telling this to the world, I think was really pretty epic of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, have you been cheated on?
No.
Wow, that, lucky you.
That I know of.
Yeah. Have you?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, well, everyone here is just fucking perfect.
That's not at all true. That's not what it means to be cheated
on. I know,
because
I'm here because, yeah, this is the joke. Because I have been cheated on just a bunch of times. And it is very isolating. It is the worst. It feels like you are disposable, you are garbage, you blame yourself and you think what could I have done differently, and like your mind goes to like the wrong places. Even like, you know, and I saw this a bit in Adrian, which like I totally empathize with, but hating the other woman, where like I think it took me a long time to sort of get to the place of like, oh, that's that person. If they don't know, or if they're being manipulated or whatever, like they're just as much as of a victim.
I think unless it's someone you previously had a relationship with, they're not even part of the equation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're like just
all
they're...
of your energy and all of your focus should just be on your partner who did that.
Exactly. And not on the other woman. But, like, I had to learn that because it's such an immediate reaction to be like, fuck this girl. And, like, yeah, I just think, like, it's hard to share that you've been cheated on because it feels so, like, people are judging you and going, well, like, what did you do to deserve this or whatever?
Oh, my God. I never think that.
I never think that either. But I you imagine in your mind that people are thinking that about you or that you're undesirable or that whatever. And so I like that we did an episode where someone was sharing that, because I feel like I would have liked to hear something like this when I was in the wake of being cheated on, for sure.
Definitely. Let's end this roller coaster of an episode with a rating.
Okay.
An official rating. What do we give it?
I give it 4.5 stars.
I
really wanted to hear more from Adrienne about, like, taking ownership of herself now. More about that. Just refamiliarizing herself with who she is and what she wants and what the next year is going to be like for her. I wanted to hear more of that.
I mean, starting stand-up again, reevaluating if she wants kids. It's really like an opportunity of, like, rebirth. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you're going through something like this, coming back to yourself is, like, a huge great part of a breakup. With my last breakup, I, like, woke up and I was like, what the fuck have I been doing? I give it 12 out of 12 jurors on a murder trial.
And I will give it 7.5 out of 6 pride flags in a common room.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about the common room pride flag.
We've covered a lot today. Thank you so much to Adrienne Earhart for being our guest. Just Between Us is hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabby Dunn.
Our engineer is Justin Asher.
And Brendan Burns composed our theme music. Our producer is Tamika Weatherspoon, and our supervising producer is Josephine Martirana.
Our executive producer is Chris Bannon.
Just Between Us is a production of Stitcher. No homo.
Stitcher.